Right, okay, welcome everyone to Pick Up a Podcast, another episode down, and today I have with me Jen Ferguson. Hello Jen, how are you?
I'm good, thank you Kurt, how about yourself?
I'm good. Just so the listeners know, we have spoken before.
Yes.
Yes, several times.
Via podcast,
absolutely. It would be a bit, I can't exactly come round the corner, unfortunately.
Not exactly, but thanks to the wonders of technology, you and I are chatting now and you and I have chatted before.
Okay, so what we are going to talk about today is obviously a podcast that you're on, hence that's the reason why you are on Pick Up a Podcast, and that is the X-File Diaries. The X-Files is a TV show. Aired in 1993 and went to 2002 for 9 seasons. Between seasons 5 and 6, there was a feature-length film, and a second sequel with a separate story came out called I Want to Believe in 2008. In 2016, it came back for what was called an event series, and that had 6 episodes, and then we finally had a final series, which was in January this year, and that had some interesting comments to talk about. So I'm sure that X-Files Diaries are probably going to pick that up at some point, I would assume.
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. Okay. So the TV show itself was a show that was on Fox. It had 2 main characters to begin with, who were Dana Scully and Fox Mulder. Fox Mulder, when he was young, had a sister who we believe was abducted by aliens, and his quest was effectively the main driving force of the show. But also as well, he was working for the FBI, and he found within the basement a division called the X-Files, where cases that were unsolved, paranormal, supernatural, those type of things were locked away and basically put down as X, designated X, and they weren't investigated any further. Because Mulder got himself into a particular high area and he was able to choose what he wanted to do, he reopened the X-Files and the show began. So each week there would be a monster of the week, as it was termed, where there would be an episode where a person would be investigated. So it could be one week, it could be about a liver-eating stretch monster. On another week, it could be a funny episode, or on another week, it might be more to do about Mulder's abducted sister and aliens and UFOs. So that's kind of the history of what the X-Files was, for those people who don't know. And I think, Jen, we shall first ask you, how did you come about the X-Files, and did you come about the X-Files in its original run, and how did you come about the show, and what were your thoughts and feelings on the show once you started to watch it, and overall, really?
I watched it from almost the beginning, almost the first episode. I caught on about halfway through the first season in 1993, and I was in my early 20s then, just gotten married. And I really just took to it right away as soon as I started watching it. It was something different. I had heard that it was on TV before I started watching it, and I thought it sounded really goofy, and I was like, what kind of stupid show is this going to be? But then I like accidentally came across it. I think like my brother was watching it, and I happened to be in the room when we were at a family gathering or something, and it was actually one of the about halfway through the first season, and I looked at it and I was like, wait, what's going on here? This is all very intriguing. So I was hooked from the beginning, and I started watching it, and during sort of the summer, which is like rerun season, I caught up with the rest of the first season. And from there, I was a devoted fan pretty much from the beginning, and watched it very faithfully for the 9 years that it was initially on, and loved it, freaked out with excitement when the movie came out, like you mentioned, between the fifth and sixth season, and then was very excited when it came back again recently. I never imagined that it would. I probably wasn't like a super keen fan for the entirety of the years between 2002 and 2016, between those years that it was not on TV at all, I was still a fan, but I just wasn't as intense a fan because it's hard to kind of maintain that level of intensity when there's nothing really happening. And the internet and social media wasn't then what it is now, and so it wasn't as easy then to sort of connect with other fans. So I kind of lost a little bit of that excitement. But then when the revival came around in 2016, I got excited all over again and kind of discovered the whole social media aspect of the X-Files. Whereas before, but during its original run, I had sort of connected with other fans via like Newsnet groups, which most people have probably never even heard of if you're under the age of like 30 probably. But it was very basic sort of bulletin board kind of forums. And so I connected with fans through that, but it was once I started connecting with fans via Twitter, it was like a whole other thing. And it was just really easy to connect with people, have these great conversations during the episodes if you were so inclined. I was more of a switching off the phone during the episode kind of a gal, but soon it was over, just, you know, madly typing away to other fans to see what they thought. And so that really sort of kicked my fandom into high gear again, being able to connect with other people. And of course, we were now in the era of podcasts. And so I discovered that there was more than one great X-Files podcast out there and started listening to those. And I've been a big fan ever since. My fandom is just on like a whole new level now, even though, like you say, the show is most likely done. There's still a lot of fans out there that are still excited about it and still want to keep talking about it and keep, I mean, there's like 218 episodes, so we have lots to talk about still as far as I'm concerned, and lots to watch. That's, you can just, you know, you can watch all 11 seasons whenever you feel like it, and you're not going to run out of episodes too quickly. So it's still something that I enjoy and is still a part of my life. So it's something that I've always really gotten into from the beginning, and I still think it's like one of the best TV shows that's been produced. Obviously, it's my favorite TV show, so it's just really well done. The actors are brilliant, the writing's really interesting, and it just sucked me in a way that a show never has and hasn't since. And the fact that it's been a part of my life for that whole 25 years that it's been in existence, it has a certain sort of part of my heart that no other show will have, because there's not too many shows that you can say you can be a fan of for that long a period of time. And so it's been sort of intertwined with my life. And so it's always going to be important to me.
I absolutely adore The X-Files. I grew up with it. It was my first major TV show. There was TV shows before it, like Quantum Leap and The A-Team and Knight Rider. But The X-Files was the first one that really grabbed me and really became a stronghold. That and Star Trek, those are the two TV shows, without a doubt, are my tent poles. So you mentioned a couple of things during that long answer, which were you were talking about like the Usenet and stuff. And I think that's really important to where you came to with the podcast that you're doing now with the X-File Diaries. So I'll nip into that in a bit more detail shortly. But say if somebody, you mentioned there was 218 episodes of the X-Files. If you were to name a couple of episodes that you would consider to be your favourite episodes that say people might want to check out from your point of view, what sort of episodes would you call your favourites, just by name really?
I've recently gone on record on my podcast, and now it's out there forever, that my favorite episode currently is it's the season finale of season 7. It's called Requiem. And so that's one of those episodes that deals a little bit more with less of a sort of a monster, isolated monster story, and more of the ongoing arc of UFOs and abductions and government conspiracies and things like that. And it's just a very sort of like, I just find it a really beautifully done episode, and there's a lot going on with it, and it has a lot of interesting callbacks to the very first episode, the pilot, which I find really interesting 7 years on. And so that's a great episode. God, I love that episode. So that would definitely be my favorite. And the other one I tend to mention is from season 3, and it's called Pusher. That's my favorite sort of, if you want to see an episode that's not connected with sort of the ongoing sort of mythology, as we call it, of the show, that is one of those standalone episodes, and it's got some very interesting ideas and characters in terms of people's relationships with each other, in terms of ideas of how brains work and things like that. And it's really, really interesting, really well done, very tense.
Yeah, I mean, Pusher for me is an episode, it's a tight thriller and could have easily been a movie on its own. Yeah. And
it
what
could have.
The X-Files over the course of its run got this this feeling that it could be actually be a movie of the week. It got recognized as something that was done so brilliantly that you could nip in and out when you need to. But Pusher is definitely one that, if you haven't seen it, any of the show, it's definitely an episode to jump in on, because you don't necessarily need to know what's happening around them. You know that there's two FBI agents and they've got a nemesis, and it's very kind of Holmes and Moriarty almost in some ways.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an episode to jump into. We have discussed this in the past between us through different means on a podcast called The X-Cast, which I will always point to as the X-Files podcast of podcasts, as well as the X-Files Diaries. But we'll get into reasons why I'm not so a favor of X-Files Diaries. But that's just more of a humorous thing than actually saying it's not a bad podcast. It is a great podcast. It's just not my type of thing. But we'll talk about that shortly.
Yes, we will.
So we've discussed this in the past, but it was kind of, X-Files was around at the birth of the internet, effectively. It became the birth of the internet fandom. It was around 94, 95. And can you give us any insight as to what was happening? Now, bearing in mind, we've got this duo of Fox Mulder and Dana Scully. There is a very, very close-knit professional relationship that they have as a base level. Let's just call it a base level, Jen, before you start shouting at me.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Okay, good. But some consider, as the season went on, without giving too many spoilers away or whatever, that their relationship blossomed. And during that time of 94, 95, there was a big internet fandom thing happening. So there was a huge wave of people going onto these Usenet things, and people were discussing their relationship as such, because they were getting closer and closer and people were seeing things. Mm-hmm. How did that view, as someone who was there at the time when you were looking at Usenet and like sort of AOL chat and things, how was that coming across to you at that time? And obviously this is kind of the beginning of the birth of the X-Files Diaries, because you go into Mulder and Scully's relationship as your point of view. So how does that come across to you from back in those days? So you were talking good 23, 22 years ago.
That's a great question. I think that certainly that aspect of the show, which is the relationship between Mulder and Scully, has always been the part that's been most interesting to me. But it's very subtle on the show, if you haven't seen it, especially for the first 5-6 seasons, certainly the first few seasons. It's there. I think it's there if you look for it, but it's very subtly done. And so if you're just kind of watching that by yourself in your living room or whatever, you're kind of like, what's going on between these two? Is there something going on? Is this in my head? What's going on here? That's where Usenet came in for me. Is I'd go on, you know, stumble across, you know, the alt.tv.xfiles group, and people were talking about it. And it turned out, lo and behold, some people were seeing the same thing that I was, which is, hey, I think there's a little something going on between those two. I think there's something happening here. And it was just like, so great, like, you know, that feeling of I have found my people, like finally someone actually is seeing this the way I'm seeing it. And so we could sort of pick apart the show from that point of view. We enjoyed the all aspects of the show, of course, all the plots, the government conspiracy. I'm into all of that, but the relationship between Mulder and Scully was always the part that most intrigued me. And so after every episode, you could sort of jump on Usenet and say, okay, did you catch that little look between them at like about halfway through the show? And what about that? And what do you think he meant by that? And so that aspect of it was the part that I was sort of most interested in kind of analyzing and picking apart. And lo and behold, there was other people out there that wanted to do the same thing. And it was just a happy discovery. That's the best. I've always said that's the best thing about the internet is whatever you're interested in, no matter how sort of obscure it is, you may know no one in your city that's interested in that, but you go on the internet and you'll find people somewhere that are as obsessed with whatever you're obsessed with as you are. And it's a great thing. So it just, we all just kind of fueled each other's obsession, which was pretty fun, actually.
The reason why I asked that question about going back to using it, because as you say, it's the birth of internet fandom. We had Kirk and Spock was kind of something that was lingering in the background as well about them. But, you know, there was a few fan fictions about Kirk and Spock getting together and all these type of things. But it was the X-Files that actually did term shipper. And
Yeah. You
see that in modern TV now. You see it in the likes of film franchises like the Twilight films. And, you know, you get all these like team this and team that. And the birth of that really was through the likes of the X-Files and Usenet, and the term shipper became what it was. So this brings me to your podcasting days. So let's jump forward 20 odd years.
Yeah. Okay.
So the X-Files Diaries, can you give us just a general overview of what the X-Files Diaries is, who's involved, and what you generally are talking about at the moment, and a couple of episodes that have been aired already?
X-Files Diaries actually started as a podcast a couple of years ago, hosted by a trio, Annie, Nick, and Charlie. And they did a sort of a fun podcast where they were basically going through the episodes of the revival for the most part. And as it started at the same time as the revival of 2016. And so they did sort of fun episode discussions on a weekly basis while the show was airing for the most part. And then picked it up again with the next go round of episodes this year, and then Nick and Charlie, once the X-Files stopped airing, had sort of other projects that they wanted to pursue, other podcasts, and the future of the X-Files Diaries was somewhat in question at that point. And it just so happened around that time I started thinking about doing a podcast with a considerable, but not entirely, but considerable emphasis on the shipper perspective.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it was just kind of a thought of how could I make this happen? And I noticed that X-Files Diaries had looked like it wasn't really producing too many episodes. And I knew that Annie was of the three hosts, she was definitely the shipper. And it was around that time she happened to contact me. Because she'd heard me on the X-Cast talking about shippery things, as I always do whenever given the opportunity.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, hey, I heard you on the X-Cast. That was really great. And I said, hey, while we're chatting, are you interested in, you know, starting the X-Files Diaries back up? And would you consider co-hosting with me? And to my great delight, she was very enthusiastic. And so we kind of took on the X-Files Diaries, took it in a little bit of a new direction, with both of us sort of, you know, having this sort of shipper perspective. And so that's kind of the most distinguishing feature about the podcast is we're definitely shippers. I think sometimes when I say shippers, people that are kind of familiar with shipper fandom think, well, all they're going to do is say, oh my God, they're so cute the whole time. And granted, we do say that sometimes, but we're also, I mean, Annie and I are on a very similar wavelength in the sense that, yes, we're shippers. Yes, we love Mulder and Scully together. But we'd like to analyze the show as well. We like to talk about other aspects of it, themes, characterization. We're not the type of fan that thinks that the show can do no wrong. We're certainly critical of it as well. And so that's kind of the combination where we're both like really true blue X-File fans first and foremost. And the podcast grew out of that. It just kind of led to us saying, well, let's just see what we can do with this. Let's just give it a try. And so our first couple of episodes, we've had a few on the air so far. We've had our first one was sort of a general introduction about what we were planning to do. And the next couple wound up being a two-parter because we talked for far too long. It was a countdown of our favorite Mulder Scully moments. We thought maybe not a two-hour podcast episode for like our second episode would be the best idea. So we split that up into two parts. So we've done that. We've done our overall top 25 episodes, which is kind of, yeah, we're going to wind up talking. We'd wind up talking some shipper stuff on that too, but other stuff too. And then we're also talking some weeks will be specific in-depth analysis of a particular episode. We did season 6's Milagro, for example. And so we're going to do sort of, you know, the occasional episode analysis and then sort of a theme analysis. And we do love lists. So we're doing countdowns of all kinds of different things. We're doing one of like the top, we decided to go top 13 X-File baddies. So like villains.
Okay, right.
And so we're going to do that as well.
Oh, that's good to hear. I mean, I must admit, I'll go back to what I said before about the fact that, you know, isn't exactly my type of thing. I'm not a shipper. Just to put it out there in the airwaves, it's any chance I get to say I am not a shipper, I'll put my hand up and say I'm not a shipper. But that's not to say that I don't enjoy the moments that happens within the show where they are. There's clearly something between them and the chemistry and everything like that. It's not a problem. How did your podcasting journey begin? Where did the element of podcasting start to creep into your mind, and how did that flourish to where you are today?
Sometimes I wonder myself, actually. I can't even quite, how did this happen? I've always been a podcast fan for a few years. I enjoy listening to podcasts. I enjoy listening here in Canada. We have CBC Radio. It's a little bit like your BBC. It's like a news and talk radio station, and so I've always listened to CBC a lot. And so I've always enjoyed that kind of, you know, sort of like thoughtful talk radio kind of format. And then podcasts came along, and it's just great to listen to if you're busy doing other things and you want, and you can find it, you know, I have a lot of interests and passions, and you can find a podcast out there on every single one of them. That's what I love about it. And as part of that, I became a fan of a couple of different X-Files podcasts, and the X-Cast, the one that that we've been talking about, was one that I really took to. And the opportunity came up to become a patron of that podcast, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. And it just so happened that being a patron also meant you get to be on as a guest occasionally, which I honestly did not want to do when I first signed up. I thought, okay, well, that's nice that they let people on, but no, they don't. They're not going to want me on. I don't think so. That's not for me. But I think almost like by accident, I wound up on a fan roundtable. I was so nervous, but it was so much fun. And I thought, well, this is a good time. This is like fun. I'm having way too much fun to not be doing this like all the time. I love being on Twitter. I love communicating with other X-File fans there. And Twitter's great. You can kind of gravitate to other people that not just share your interest, but share your very specific aspect of that interest. And so, you know, I tended just to sort of, you know, chat a lot with other shippers online. There might be enough here to actually do this as a podcast. And, you know, it was in my mind just kind of like, let's take these conversations that we're having on Twitter and just turn it into a podcast, basically. Because people are keen to talk about this still. They're keen to dissect various aspects of the relationship and of the show in general. And there's an appetite for this. And certainly Annie and I were both keen to talk about it. So we thought, let's give this a go. And I don't know quite what happened, but something kind of flicked in my head. I think it was while I was at, when I was at the Montreal Comic Con. I went to the Comic Con in Montreal in July. And they had David Duchovny there, Mitch Pileggi, and William B. Davis. And so that was my first time going to like a sci-fi convention. And it was just so exciting to be there, not just to sort of meet the stars of the X-Files, but also to meet other fans and to sort of be a sort of part of this actual experience of fandom in person as well, in addition to just being online. And I think I was at one of the Q&A sessions for one of the stars, William B. Davis, who plays like the bad guy on the X-Files. And I just, you know, I never plan I never want to ask questions at these things. I feel like I'm going to be too shy. But something happened while I was sitting there at the audience, and I looked up at the line of people, because people line up to ask questions at the microphone. And every single one of them was a man. And all the questions that had been asked so far had been from a man. And I thought, we need a woman's voice here. So I just popped up and asked my sort of feminist question. And I think it was in that moment that I felt like, yeah, we cannot let the men take over all the time. We need to have more women out there talking about this stuff, and with specifically a kind of distinct female perspective. And so in this case, it sort of manifests as sort of a shipper perspective, but also kind of a feminist perspective as well. And I just felt like it was something that I had to at least try to see if it was possible. I didn't know really. The only thing I knew about podcasting at that point was how to be a guest on one. I didn't know anything about producing it. I had no idea how does it like get into people's ears. I didn't know any of that. And it turned out Annie didn't really know that much about that end of things either, because her co-hosts had done a lot of that kind of technical background stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that you could learn. And it's not that hard to get into podcasting. Once you get the hang of a few things, and, you know, having been on the X-Cast, that was a great introduction to it. And everyone in the X-Cast is always so supportive and really helpful. So I had a little bit of experience with that. And we just kind of put our heads together and see if we could figure it out. We're still doing that, essentially. We probably will be indefinitely. But it was like, let's just try it. Let's just see if we can do this. And next thing I knew, it was a thing. And then people were actually listening to it, because we recorded a few episodes before we released any. And it was like my mind was blown that people were actually listening to me talking about the X-Files. And I was so happy. I mean, you know, it had happened before. I'd been, you know, a guest on the X-Cast a couple of times. But when it's your own show, it's kind of different, because you're doing a lot more talking, for one thing. And it's, you know, it's your passion. It's your specific, everything about it is you, not just the content of what you're saying, but the way it's put together, the way it's released, the way it's edited, everything says something about you. And to have people consuming that was like terrifying at first, and like super exciting, because, you know, we all have sort of hobbies and passions that we're interested in, but we don't get a chance often to really share it with a wider audience like that. And the idea that, you know, that I could sort of be a part of someone else enjoying the same thing that I'm enjoying was just so exciting.
What equipment did you use, and have you improved on that? I've spoken to Mike White of the Projection Booth recently for the first episode, actually, as it happened, and he did a book which was How to Podcast on $60. And it's interesting from your point of view as a relative newbie, because I'm the same vein as you, as you mentioned with the X-Cast, and I was on a podcast just before that as well, which I've been on, so about 18 months that I've been doing this. But my background is in music and is in stage performance and disco DJing and things like that, so I've got a bit of a performance background anyway. But the equipment is something that I'm really keen to push for people, because you can do it relatively cheaply. How did you start out, and what improvements have you made, and where are you in the podcasting journey? Because I was speaking to Mike the other week, as I say, and he says, even himself, he said, you know, ideally he's someone that's well known, critically acclaimed, and has still not created a little room for himself, a soundproof room and a mixing desk that you would sometimes need for professional stuff, but he's got 300 episodes under his belt. So I was just wondering where you are in that line, and how did you start off when you first came onto your first podcast?
I agree that you don't need a lot to get started. I still don't have very much in terms of equipment. My very first podcast opportunity, I strictly just used the internal mic on my Macintosh computer. as my mic, and I sort of played around with it a bit to try to get it sounding half decent, and I think probably the editing process made it sound even better. So, but you know, obviously not ideal in terms of the sound. And then I wound up with I needed a new headset anyway for my computer. I was thinking of getting one. And so I got like a headset with a mic attached to it. And so that was kind of my next step. I still wasn't like totally happy with that because I'm quite particular about sound quality. And it was kind of like, yeah, no, this is not quite doing it for me. And around the time that I started thinking about, hey, maybe I'm going to do my own podcast, I bought an actual proper microphone. It's not like a super expensive microphone. I think I spent like $70 for it. And I bought a little arm to put it on. That's my big cash outlay, the arm and the mic. And I think we bought like one kind of software, and everything else is free for the most part. And that's it. And that's good enough. I mean, honestly, our recording at this point is still pretty basic. My co-host Annie is in California and I'm in Alberta, Canada. And so we just talk to each other over Skype, as you and I are doing now. And we just record it that way. And I'm always amazed that it sounds as good as it does, because I'm like, that actually sounds like a podcast. Like, I'm just sitting in my living room here. And we're not using mixing boards or anything like that. I really don't know much about sound mixing, so I am just doing the basics. And we have one computer in the house. My husband and I, we have, you know, phones and tablets, but we only have one actual computer. And so whenever it's podcasting time, I have to like kick him off the computer.
Yeah, you have to put your schedule in. I'm doing this at 9 p.m. today.
Exactly. And it's like, you can be in the house, you just can't make any sounds. And which is like, you know, he usually just leaves. So, which is what he's done this afternoon. Get the dog settled. That's the next priority. So he's not going to be like barking or getting wound up or anything like that. So, you know, it's and so every time I do an episode, I have to essentially set up all my equipment and then take it down again, because this is our sort of shared computer desk. And it would be kind of a hassle to have a microphone in your face while you're trying to just work on the computer. And my husband works at home a bit too, so he needs the computer for work. So, you know, luckily I have a mic stand that easily swings out of the way. And then so every time it's time to record, I put it together. And when it's time to be done, I put everything away. And so, yeah, I just dream of the idea of just having a room. I mean, soundproof would be awesome with like really great acoustics. But I'll just take a room at this point that has a computer in it and a microphone set up all the time, so that I wouldn't have to keep taking it down and putting it up. That would be really nice. And like, I would just have like X-File stuff all over the walls. This is like my dream room. I'm still thinking about it. Maybe I'll convert one of the basement rooms into this, because I figure basement would be like the quietest part of the house, probably.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I've got my own little DVD room, which has got books on bookshelves and DVDs all over the place of TV shows and films, and I just use that room. But again, because I'm a bit techie, I like my tech. I've got old computers left, right, and center. I've got phones that I don't use anymore, and all that type of thing. So I've got a mixture of everything, really. I'm on three screens as we speak at the moment, which is always great.
Wow.
So yeah, but you don't need that for a podcast. That's just me being me.
No,
that's just me being me.
Yeah.
So the going back to your podcast, as we start to think about sort of wrapping everything up, you've got the obviously, the Mulder and Scully relationship, basically, it's an X-Files podcast. You've got episodes on various different top lists, and you've got episodes on certain themes. And what do you have coming up in the next few weeks, few months that you could tell us about?
That assumes we have a plan. We've just started doing a proper plan.
All right, okay.
I mean, the X-Cast, to me, is like the gold standard of podcast planning. There are spreadsheets upon spreadsheets, and I thought, we don't need a spreadsheet. There's just, you know, we're not gonna have too many guests on. We'll have guests from time to time. It's real simple. But then, boy, as soon as you start actually airing episodes, then things start to get complicated, because then you're airing episodes and recording episodes at and editing episodes all at the same time. And I thought, this is starting to get confusing and we need a spreadsheet. So we have a spreadsheet now. So we're both, Annie and I are both going to be at the Spooky Empire convention in Orlando. And most of the cast of The X-Files is going to be there. And so we're going to do something coming out of that. We haven't quite figured out exactly what yet. So we're going to do something to cover that. We're going to continue to cover a couple of different episodes that we have in mind. We want to do some more analysis of the characters, talking about the evolution of the character of Mulder over the seasons, of Scully over the seasons, and getting into some other sort of not even entirely shippery aspects of the show. We want to talk about the music as well. And we have a guest lined up to come on and talk as well about sort of some of those sort of feminist critiques of the X-Files, what some critiques are, and are they valid? What do they say about the X-Files? The question that I would always ask is, can you be a feminist and an X-File fan? And so we're going to sort of address those issues as well. And we kind of make it up as we go to a certain extent. It's informed a lot about the Twitter conversations that go on, because Annie and I are both quite active on sort of X-Files Twitter. And we get a lot of our ideas from that. And so whatever topic people seem to be sort of interested in, that inspires us. And we come up with, you know, things that we wouldn't have thought of necessarily, but like all of a sudden everyone seems to be talking about, everyone's really interested in this subject. And, you know, suddenly a heated discussion breaks out and it's like, wow, I did not think that you could have a whole discussion about this subject, but you can. I think we could actually do a whole podcast about this. And we're kind of letting that sort of direct us a little bit as well, and trying to sort of, you know, we're both very Twittery people. And so we kind of see a lot of kind of synergy, to use the buzzword, between our Twitter sort of experience and the podcast. And so those are kind of intertwined to a certain point. And whatever people seem to want to talk about, that's what we're going to wind up talking about, I think. And, you know, that way, at least we know we're talking about something that people are interested in. And, you know, that way we have a little bit of an audience that we know is going to have some interest, at least, in the subject. We at least know there are some certain number of people that we can name on Twitter that are interested in this subject. Let's talk about it. Maybe we'll actually be able to reach some other folks that we haven't discussed it with before as well. So that's kind of how we're doing it right now.
If a newbie was to come to you tomorrow and say, I want to get into the X-Files. I love MSR in this story because it's a modern school relationship, but I love relationships. I'm kind of a Ross and Rachel type person. I'm really invested in characterization. I love Twilight. I love all those kind of relationshipy type things. And I want to get into the X-Files. What episodes should they watch?
Great question. I'd say, and this might sound a bit strange to some shippers out there, but there's a lot of shippiness action happening right from the get-go in the X-Files. So there's a lot of good stuff to pick from in season one. I really like EBE is the name of the episode, which stands for Extraterrestrial Biological Entity. It's really a UFO episode, so it might be one that, you know, someone like yourself might enjoy. But there's a lot of really interesting undercurrents in that episode about themes of trust and sort of mutual support that is really at the heart of the Mulder-Scully relationship. I see a lot of that in that episode. So I love that episode. I call it like the most underrated shipper episode on the X-Files. And you can learn a lot about sort of where the X-Files is coming from, because you get a little bit of a sort of a hint of the mythology aspect of it as well. And there's a two-parter, well, not really a two-parter, but there's one that's a sequel to the other within the first season as well. The first part is called Squeeze, and the second part is called Tombs, and it's about that stretchy liver-eating mutant monster, which sounds really silly when you say it out loud, but there's a lot in both of those episodes as well about Mulder and Scully's relationship, especially in Tombs, so those will give you a hint as well. And just to mention two others off the top of my head, if you really want to get into it, I really like Irresistible in season two. And also season two has a very interesting character arc for Scully as well that starts with the episode Dwayne Barry. So I'd say watch that one, watch the next couple of episodes. You'll enjoy that as well. And listen to the X-Files Diaries. We'll never lead you astray in terms of what you should be listening to if you want to embrace the shipper lifestyle.
Good stuff. Okay, Jen, well, thank you very much for coming on. It's much appreciated. I know that, as I say, we've made contact several occasions, and thank you for helping me on my journey. It's much appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for letting me talk about myself and my podcast so much, because there's nothing I'd rather do.
Just so we can get in contact with you, where can we get in contact with you? I'm assuming Twitter's probably the best place for both the podcast and yourself, is it?
Yeah, it is. Twitter is, we're trying to do the Facebook thing, but we're not as into Facebook as we are into Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, X-Files Diaries. Twitter is where we're certainly a little bit more active. The Twitter account for the podcast is XFD Podcast. That's XFD as in X-Files Diaries Podcast. And for me personally, it is Jen X-File. That's JennXPhile. And you can find Annie as well on X-Files Diaries, all one word. That actually used to be the Twitter account for the podcast, but it kind of evolved into her personal account, and so that's her account now. We have another account for the show. We're working out all the details. But yeah, hit us up on Twitter, and we love to talk about the X-Files, so please join us on Twitter and join us on the podcast.
Fantastic. Jen Ferguson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt.